At the end of the movie Star Wars, the heroes walk through a standing ovation to receive their rewards as thousands cheer. But that isn't close to what it will be like when a Christian enters heaven. Truly, eye hath not seen what lies ahead for believers. For a look beyond the mystery of death, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current seven-part Running to Win series is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. Today, Dr. Lutzer begins message number three, The Ascent into Glory.
Today my message is entitled, The Ascent into Glory. We will not be speaking specifically about what it is going to be like to arrive in heaven. That we are reserving for the next message. But today we want to look at death from a biblical point of view to see how God sees it and why we should not fear that ascent into heaven. But first of all, before I begin the message, I do need to make a clarification. I hope it will be a clarification. After last week's message, many of you came up to me and you asked me questions because apparently I was unclear. Well, you know that I don't like to be like that politician who left a political rally here in Chicago the other day and whispered to one of his aides, I hope that in the excitement I didn't happen to make myself clear about anything. So let me try to be clear. In the Old Testament, you have Sheol, the righteous and the wicked, both descend into Sheol. There is a lower region in Sheol, which the rabbis interpreted to mean that this was the place of the wicked, but Sheol also had another region which was the place of the righteous. We come into the New Testament, Luke chapter 16, which was the passage that we spent most of our time on last week. And it is in that passage that Jesus talks about two regions. One is Hades. And in the New Testament, wherever the word Sheol occurs, as it is quoting the Old Testament, it always uses the word Hades. Sheol is the Hebrew word, Hades is the Greek word. However, in the New Testament, it is interesting that Hades is never a positive place. It is never looked at as the region of the righteous dead per se. But nevertheless, you do have those two compartments. As we discussed, the rich man and Lazarus, they have this conversation even though a gulf is between them and they cannot cross over from one side to the other. Now, all that I can tell you is that in the New Testament, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, there does not seem to be any talk about two compartments or two regions. After the ascension, everyone who dies goes directly to heaven, which I interpret to be the same as paradise, and which we would look at from the standpoint of the Old Testament as Abraham's bosom. It is my personal belief, though some people would disagree, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he took all those who were in what we call Abraham's bosom or paradise, and he took them with him so that they are now in heaven. In the Old Testament, Sheol, you always think of it as the region beneath. New Testament, it is the region above. Stephen, as we shall see in a moment, sees the heavens open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father, and that's where Stephen went. So you and I, when we die, we will go directly into heaven, as we will seek to prove today through the text of Scripture. What do we make of death? What do we make of it? Seems to be our greatest enemy. We do everything we possibly can to avoid it, to get away from it, to stave it off as long as we possibly can, to eke out one last week of existence. Yet the Bible presents a very different story. Remember in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, you remember that God drove them out of the garden. Why did he drive them out? Because he said that the moment you eat and disobey, you will die. And they began to die physically, they began to die spiritually, and they would have died eternally had God not provided salvation for them. But when he sent them out of the garden, the text says that he put some cherubim there, a flaming sword to protect the tree of life. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but God wanted to keep them from the tree of life. Why? Because if they had eaten that, they would have been immortalized in their sinful state. They'd have lived as sinners forever. They would not have died, but what a miserable existence it would have been. But God protected them from that. You know why? Because he wanted to give us what we could call today the gift of death. The gift of death. Because death is the doorway by which God invites us to something that is far better, far better. And that is personal fellowship with him in heaven. What I'd like to do today is to look at five images of the New Testament, in the New Testament, on death. Normally, as you know, I take a passage of Scripture and expound it. But this time we are going to have to speak topically because these images exist in different parts of the Bible. And so in some cases I'll have you turn to the text, at other times I will simply quote it, and if you are taking notes you can write down the references and you can check them later. We can begin with Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 31. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the first image is that death is a departure. Luke chapter 9, verse 31. What an experience the disciples had, the three disciples. And of course, Moses and Elijah also came for a visit on top of the mountain. But it says in verse 31, Moses and Elijah were there, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure. That's the word that I want. Because the Greek word there is exodos. You know, of course, that we have the second book of the Bible is known as the Exodus, the leaving, the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt en route to the promised land. Look at almost every building. You can look around in it and you can see an exit sign. That's the same word, the departure. When you exit, you leave to go somewhere else. And notice it's talking about the death of Jesus Christ, and it is called a departure. They were talking about the exodus of Christ. Now think this through. Moses led the people out of slavery. He crossed the Red Sea. And after crossing the Red Sea, he led them in the desert. The intention, of course, was to bring them into the land, and eventually they did enter into that land. Crossing the Red Sea should not have been a fearful experience if they were following a qualified leader, namely Moses. They could have had confidence that they will eventually get there, and even though their hearts trembled on occasion, there was no question about God's ability to lead them over the sea. Now, in the very same way, should we fear death? Death has a lot of mystery, but the Scripture says that Jesus died that he might take away the fear of death, and to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is our departure. It is God taking us. It is leaving this world. And we need not fear what lies on the other side as long as we have trusted a qualified Savior, as long as we have trusted Christ and we know that we are en route to the Father who is in heaven. And that's why when someone dies who's a believer in Christ, we say that he has departed. He's departed. It's not that he is annihilated. It is not that he is extinct. He has just departed to go somewhere else. You've heard me tell the story of that little girl who was seen walking through a cemetery, and someone said, "Are you not afraid of going through a cemetery?" And she said, "No, because my home is on the other side." Death is the means by which God takes us home. It's a departure. Let me give you a second figure of speech, I should say. And that is that death is sleep. Now, there are so many passages about this that I scarcely need to quote them all, but I want to remind you that in John 11, verse 11, Jesus said regarding Lazarus, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, and I go that I may wake him out of sleep." And the disciples think that he's taking a nap. And Jesus said, "No, Lazarus is dead." Do you remember 1 Corinthians 15, 51? The Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." What Paul means is this, that there is a whole generation of believers that is going to be living at the return of Jesus Christ when he comes at what we call the rapture. So he says, not all of us are going to die, but Christ is going to come and we will be immediately transformed, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, but we shall join them if we are living during that wonderful occasion. And you and I might experience that in our lifetime. But notice he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This has led many people to embrace the idea of what is known as soul sleep. Soul sleep says that when a person dies today, he is unconscious until the day of resurrection. When his body is raised, it is at that time that his spirit also will be rejuvenated, and then he will become conscious in the presence of Christ. I need to say that people who hold that write me many letters. Many of them are very fine people, but I want to respectfully and strongly disagree with soul sleep. I believe that the Bible teaches the continual consciousness of the soul. The body goes into the grave, that's right, and it is to be raised, most assuredly. And we'll talk about that in future messages. We will discuss the resurrection body. But the reason that sleep is used as a figure of speech for death is not because the soul sleeps, but because the body sleeps until the day of resurrection. Notice this, Moses was not sleeping until the day of resurrection. He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, some people think that he already had his resurrected body. I don't think so. And we'll have to talk about that. But here is Moses, who is quite conscious long before the time when the dead are raised. But let me give you some other references, and I will invite you only to jot down the passage. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Stephen is being stoned. And as those rocks are coming in his direction, long before he falls over in death, the scripture says that he saw heavens open and he saw Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God the Father. And you've heard me say many times, it's the only instance in the New Testament where Jesus is seen standing at the right hand of God the Father. Almost always, in fact, in the other instances, Christ is seen as seated. It's almost as if he's saying, Stephen, just be faithful because soon we are going to be together. But notice this. Did Stephen actually expect that his soul was going to be in extinction until the day of resurrection? No, because a few verses later he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Receive my spirit. Clearly, Stephen expected to be with Jesus Christ immediately.
Well, my friend, the bottom line is simply this, isn't it? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's the point that I was trying to make. This is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that you are encouraged by this particular message about death. Because previously I preached on Hades and the darkness and the gloom. Now, of course, we're going to be talking about heaven. We're going to be talking about being in the presence of Jesus. And what a contrast that really is. But meanwhile, you know that relative of yours that died who knew Christ as Savior? They just simply passed away. If you could see the spirit world, you'd know that Jesus was there to welcome them. And let us live in light of those realities.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of The Ascent into Glory, the third message in his series, 1 Minute After You Die. This series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For complete information, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. For a great adventure, join Dr. Lutzer in the steps of Luther and the Reformers this June in Europe. For information, go to our website or call 1-888-771-8717. That's 1-888-771-8717. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Our website is runningtowin.org. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.